present Kenneth Williams, Clement Roy, Libby Purvis, and Henry Kelly in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parson.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, welcome to Just a Minute, and as you just heard, we have two of our regular players of the game, and we're delighted to welcome back someone who played with great success in the last series, that is Libby Purvis, and somebody who has not played the game before, we welcome Henry Kelly. Would you welcome those two, please? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject is getting a thrill. Oh, some of their audience are laughing already. Kenneth, would you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I think the biggest thrill I can get is when I'm on something like the Big Dipper. I've done it in Blackpool and another resort also, I think. And when it goes right up that hump and accelerates down, the blood rushes to my head, the adrenaline starts to blow, and I scream out terrible things like whoopee and behave quite unlike my usual.
Stayed and solemn and dignified self.
On the other hand, a fan wrote me and said, "Darling Kenny, put you on my mantelpiece. That's where you should always be because your place in my heart is secure." Well, I was thrilled to read sentiments like that, I can tell you, and I thought to myself, you're a lucky boy. But then, with your beauty, good looks, charm, radiating, such a delight.
Henry Kelly has challenge you.
Deviation. Beauty, good looks, and charm is a lie in his case.
Oh, and
well, I am not going to judge on the personal appearance of anyone on our panel, so on these occasions I bow to the superior judgment of our audience here in the studio and ask you to decide whether you agree with Henry Kelly's challenge about Kenneth's charm and good looks. And if you agree with Henry, which is a negative challenge, then you all boo, and if you disagree, you all cheer for Kenneth, and you all do it together now. Yes. So all this mob that you've dragged in off the street Kenneth, agree that you have charm, good looks, and all the other things that you mentioned.
Yes.
So Henry doesn't get a point for that challenge. You get one for a wrong challenge. You keep the subject for another 3 seconds, starting now.
Well, I've always lived a very clean life. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. We're not looking so lovely, I can assure you.
At the end of that round, Kenneth Williams got the extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and you won't be surprised, or you probably worked it out for yourselves. There's only one person who scored any points so far, Kenneth Williams. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject is cards. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
A card, according to Arnold Bennett, is a bit of a wit in South Yorkshire or North Nottingham, but mostly it is a piece of pasteboard, usually hard. And the harder it is, the more solemn the occasion that it signifies. I've never quite understood why Valentine cards, which should evoke a soft emotion, are actually much, much less rigid. And I said much twice.
Libby has jumped.
Much repetition.
Yes, and so a repetition. Libby, you picked it up. A point from the right challenge and 35 seconds to take over the subject of cards, starting now.
The leaving of cards in a social manner was a charming habit belonging to a past age. What one did was to arrive with one's card at the house of an acquaintance and place it on the silver tray in the hall. You then pick up all the other cards from the aforesaid receptacle and pretend that all the distinguished people mentioned on these have called on you instead. This gave you a warm feeling, similar to that which is achieved when you think the minute is very nearly up, but have nothing.
And you almost got there. There were 2 seconds left, but Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation, nothing about cards.
No, I'm afraid you deviate.
The feeling that cards give me is very similar to the feeling
I think Libby, you deviate from the subject and talking about the feeling that you get when just a minute is almost up. So that's getting away from the subject of cards. So I give it to Clement with 2 seconds, starting now.
Happy Christmas.
And Libby challenged.
Hesitation.
She may not have played the game very often before, as a guest, but she's certainly got the rules on her head. Libby, what do I do? Maybe with any game for half a second. second. I really can't. 1.5 seconds on cards, Clement, starting now.
And a very happy new year.
Well, the ambassador blew his whistle after 60 seconds, and on that occasion, Clement Freud was speaking, so he took the extra point, and he's gone ahead of Kenneth Williams. And Henry Kelly, will you take the next round? The subject is lie detectors. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Lie detectors are now becoming very popular in the United States of America. Where, of course...
Clement Freud challenge.
He'll never be able to keep it up with that.
Oh, yes, I will.
You must have just returned from pantomime somewhere, Henry. Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will give Clement a bonus point for a good challenge for because it entertained us, but it got nothing to do with the game. So we leave the subject with Henry of lie detectors, 51 seconds. And, of course, he gets a point for being interrupted. 51 seconds, starting now.
America, where they are becoming very popular, because, of course, there are a lot of...
Libby Purvis challenge.
They're not popular. Everybody hates them. They're always demonstrating against them.
They might be popular with the police, you see.
I like
police,
them.
The police are not the people.
No, they can be popular with some people, depending on their profession, Libby, so I have to give them the benefit of the doubt. To Henry, leave it with him. 52.5 seconds left. With you, Henry, another point as well, starting now.
Well, despite many attacks on their popularity, they are growing in popularity.
Never for a challenge.
Repetition.
I think you could call that repetition, yes. Yes, it was a sort of a legal decision for me to make, but Clement, you have the subject of lie detectors, and there are 48 seconds starting now.
3 years ago, a colour magazine decided to do a test between politicians, jockeys, and I can't remember what the other profession was, to see which told most lies. And it was an extraordinary thing because we assembled in Gravesend Road, and each of us tried very hard to show how good we were at not being able to tell lies, so the test was a total failure. I won. I can't...
Henry, challenge.
He's hesitating since he opened his mouth.
No, he just hesitated then once. He only hesitated once then when you challenged.
Well, that'll do.
I know. So you have the subject back, Henry. 23 seconds on lie detectors starting now.
These machines, of course, do not attest to the veracity of...
Clement Freud,
sir. Deviation.
Why?
He's not keeping it up.
That is too subtle for words. I'm not going to give you any more bonus points, but Henry gets another point for being interrupted and not an incorrect challenge. 19 seconds. Still with you, Henry, making points all the time. Lie detectors starting now.
Of statements made by people, but tell you how people actually are prone in their beds.
Libby Purvis, chap.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you had too many people. 15 seconds are left with you. Lie detectors starting now.
I would dip.
I know, but she's a guest and she hasn't played it very often before, so I'm not going to.
Marvelous. Get away with that.
So, Libby, 14 seconds, but keep it moving. Lie detectors starting now.
I would dearly love to take a lie detector test because people would be paying such very close attention to what I said and recording it on a graph on a rolling piece of paper in front of me. This would make me feel incredibly important.
Occasion, Libby Purvis was speaking as the whistle went, and she got the extra point. She's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. Henry Kelly's only 1 point behind, and Kenneth, after that masterful lead at the end of the first round, is back in fourth place. I only say back there because he's known to be there before in spite of his contributions. Libby, you begin the next round, please. The subject is fortune-telling. Can you tell us something about that? Just a minute, starting now.
Fortunes may be told in many ways, by pulling the leaves off daisies, by looking at the similar organisms which are found in tea, by examining people's hands or indeed the soles of their feet. All of these methods of fortune-telling are extremely dangerous and should not be indulged in by amateurs. Many years ago, children, I was told that I would have 15 offspring. This was deduced by a school friend looking at the size of my hands. I now have 1 4/9 offspring, and I have to tell you that the fear...
Kenneth, you have a chance.
Well, I'm afraid there were 2 offspring, you see. Is it offspring twice?
No, offspring.
She said offspring. Thank you, Clement, but I did actually.
You can't have offspring.
You're talking about
offspring.
It's
plural itself. That's deviation if it's offspring.
Yes, you should have challenged her for deviation of offsprings.
It was a mistake.
You can't be plural.
I do admit I was wrong.
I know.
I'd like to give this to Kenneth because Kenneth and I, you know.
You want to give it to
I'd
me,
like
I
to
say?
Give it to Kenneth, yes.
Yes, John, like ran out of ideas.
All right, all right. She's generously given it to you, so let's hear
I'll
from you.
I'll have it back
the...
in a minute.
Let's hear from you on the subject of fortune-telling with 26 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I've had the most incredible experiences in this direction. I went to Petrolengo, you know, on the pier there at Brighton. She said to me, I see you crossing water. I said, I might have my arms over a puddle. What's that mean? She said, no, you've gone a long way. Well, within a few months, where was I? Yes, I was in Australia.
So it's a very even contest this week, and Kenneth Williams has gone back into the lead alongside Clement Freud and Libby Purvis, with Henry Kelly only 1 point behind, and Kenneth back with you to begin. The subject, Nymphenburg Palace, near Munich. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, not an architectural expert, I can say that it's a fine example of rococo building. Beautifully wedding cake-ish, I think one could say, with this incredible collection of china. Meissen can be found there. And some typing blue glazed urns, which have inspired many, including Picasso, which gave him his blue period. And...
Clement Freud, challenge. You challenge Clement. You pressed your buzzer anyway.
Repetition of blue.
Yes, repetition of blue. Yes, but we have to know whether you've spotted it or you're just sort of having me on.
I was being intimidated by Kenneth Williams.
Oh, that's a new situation existing between you. Right, so, Clement, you take over the subject of Nymphenburg Palace near Munich. 31 seconds, starting now.
What is probably best known about Nymphenburg Palace is that it is near Munich, in Bavaria, in the Federal Republic of West Germany. I would like to say that Nymphenburg Palace, near Munich.
Hesitation and a repetition simultaneously.
Well done.
No
right.
Repetition.
So, 18 seconds near for you Munich. On Nymphenburg Palace near Munich, Libby, starting now.
Nymphenburg Palace football team. What a wonderful...
Deviation, it doesn't exist.
How do you know?
I do know. I've been there.
You never
and just the same as Blenheim Palace or Buckingham Palace, no football teams are allowed. Don't take it, Mr. Clay.
You never know.
I shall have the subject back now. Stop it, Barry. Ridiculous, isn't it? I come all the way from Great Portland Street. I mean, the way they treat you, just kick me as you pass. I say.
All right, 14 seconds for you on Nymphenburg Palace, starting now.
The brilliant Austrian writer said of this great edifice that it had inspired him to write...
Libby has challenged you again.
He said inspired once before.
Yes, you did talk about inspiration before, inspired. That's the second time you used
it. I don't think I should be picked up as under a curse ages and ages ago. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think it's very clever to have remembered this how long ago, seeing how much has gone between.
Yes, it is quite clever, yes. Well, we'll give her a point then.
Yes, she's gone in very cleverly with 2 seconds to go on the Nymphenburg Palace near Munich, starting now.
That match against Atletico Madrid.
The first time Lydia Purvis came as a guest on Just a Minute, the first remarks on the show were, I've come here to win. And she didn't say it this time, but she's fulfilling the earlier promise. She's now in the lead, ahead of Kenneth Williams, who's in second place now, ahead of Clement Freud and Henry Kelly in that order. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is A Book I Should Have Read, starting now.
A book I should have read was Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And each time I go to Italy and have waiters fill pasta, tagliatelle and ravioli over my Chelsea boot, I say to myself, I should have read that book.
Yes, he was trying to think of another way of saying that.
Yeah, I know.
Very nice.
Always
Kenneth, you've got in and you have 42 seconds now on a book I should have read starting now.
Well, a book I should have read, undoubtedly, is The Life of William the Silent, which was written by Motley, because while the Wedgwood volume excited me and made me want to learn more, I was assured by an erudite and learned man, as a matter of fact, he was at Caius College, and told me this was the finest work on that incredible monarch that was ever written. He said to me, the last sentence is quite remarkable. While he lived, he was the guiding star.
Kenneth Williams impressing everyone with his erudition. You almost thought we'd read the book, actually.
No, you should have heard that last bit, because it was a marvellous
Well, let's hear
sentence.
It now, then.
Yes, it's a wonderful last sentence. While he lived, he was the guiding star of a whole brave nation, and when he died, the little children cried in the street. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Really wonderful. Really marvellous. Not a dry... They're all writing it down. They're going
to... Can we hear from this? Can we hear some more about the Nymphenburg Palace near Munich?
Yes, I was trying to tell you about Sacha Masoch, because you know he is Masoch, after which masochism
was named. Oh, I knew that, yes,
named,
definitely.
And
yes.
He said that it inspired his L'amour et la volupté. He wrote it there.
Really?
Yes.
And at the end of that round, you got an extra point to Speaking to Us went. You're just 1 point behind Libby Purvis now. Henry Kelly begins the next round. It's keeping fit, Henry. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
For a person of my physique, the best way of keeping fit is to run out in the rain and dodge between the drops. Alternatively, you can, of course, walk to the cardiac unit of most general hospitals in this country, visit your friends who have gone there because they jog. Recently, I went to a health farm where I discovered that the real secret of keeping fit is, in fact, found by...
Libby Purvis, challenge.
It was interesting, but there was a hesitation.
I know the pace.
I agree.
Clement said, the pace you go, you see, and you should take a leaf out of Kenneth's book there.
Well, I haven't long to live, you see.
So at that pace, and anybody else had gone, you know, wouldn't have probably been hesitation, but you did, and so the has got Libby in with a point, and the subject, keeping fit, 40 seconds, starting now.
The best way...
Clement Freud,
hesitation. Hesitation.
Definitely hesitation. I quite agree with you, Clement.
It's the way I breathe.
Either that or she's got speech impediment. Something wrong with her, you can tell.
Well, stop intruding into private breathing.
I didn't allow it the last time when you didn't get going on the now, and this time it was 1.5 seconds. So
yes,
I think,
not good enough. Quite right, Nicholas. You're quite right, you know. You've got to put your foot down.
I've now given the benefit of the doubt. I always have to say this, because if I'm not fair to them all, oh, we have such scenes afterwards, I can't tell you. Right, Clement, you did go for 1.5 seconds without speaking. That means there are 38.5 for you on keeping fit, starting now.
I've never quite understood the attraction of keeping fit, but whenever I watch television, somebody in the morning seems to be shouting at me, saying in, out, up, down, upwards, downwards, inwards, outwards, all that sort of stuff. And fat and unappetizing ladies and gentlemen cavort themselves around my 17-inch screen, showing what I would very much not like to do, which is to be svelte and slim and have bad breasts and web feet and tennis elbow, and for all I know, unhappy, hirsute.
Libby's challenge.
He did hesitate after unhappy.
Oh, yes, I agree. He was running to a...
I had a pause between two words.
You were running out of steam completely.
No, no.
You had, by that, I interpreted hesitation. So, Libby, you have keeping fit in 5 seconds, starting now.
The best way of keeping fit is to live on a fourth-floor flat with no lift box.
Libby got the subject back, kept going till the whistle, gained an extra point, has increased her lead at the end of the round, and she also begins the next round. It is My Greatest Mistake. Libby, can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My greatest mistake was that I once did get fit. If I had never been in this condition, I would not now be aware that I am unfit. But in 1978, I believe it was, I was going on a long sailing trip and decided that I would finally get into the sort of shape that women should be in for athletic pursuits. For 8 months, I swam, Every day, I walked, I ran. It was the most boring experience, and at the end of it, I was a magnificent specimen. Alas, since those days, things have rather gone down the drain, and now I...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, so you went down the drain, and...
I couldn't go on describing what things were like now, not on the radio.
It is difficult.
They don't know out there.
You had them on the edge of their seats out there in the audience, too. They don't know which drain you went down. Clement, you have the subject, My Greatest Mistake. 21 seconds are left, starting now.
My greatest mistake was answering an advertisement in a newspaper which promised to give me the best holiday that anyone had ever had, provided I sent a personal order for £4.85, as a result of which an envelope would be dispatched, giving me news of such sunshine days as I had never experienced.
Clement got more points then, including that one as the whistle went. He's creeping up on Libby Purvis again, which is a very embarrassing thing to do, but I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. She's still in the lead. Kenneth only just behind Clement. Henry's trailing a little, and Kenneth begins the next round. The subject, Kenneth, modesty. Oh, something so close to your heart. So can you modestly tell us something about the subject of modesty, starting now?
We do think it is discreditable to, so to speak, blow your own trumpet. I like doing it myself because I think the world should know about talent, not hide it under a bushel. Though, frankly, there aren't that many of them about nowadays. You used to see a lot of them in corn chandlers. In fact...
Henry Kelly has challenged.
What is he talking about? It's got nothing to do with modesty.
Absolutely.
Deviation.
Absolutely, it's talking quite the reverse.
Deviation
about...
run riot.
Yes, well, not the riot, but certainly he had deviated, and he was blowing his trumpet instead of being modest. 31 seconds for you, Henry, on the subject of modesty, starting now.
Modesty ranked very high at the school which I attended as a young boy. In fact, when my father asked the Jesuit in charge of the school what it was best at...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of school.
Oh, you rotter.
Yes, but as it's going to be the last round, and it won't make any difference to whether you win or not, Clement,
yeah,
we haven't heard very much from Henry for a while, let's leave the subject with him for another go, and there are 23 seconds left, starting now. And he's... Clement?
Hesitation.
Hesitation. So as I didn't give the last challenge against him, I couldn't possibly give that one against him as well.
I only hesitated because Kenneth Williams was kissing Clement Freud.
I know.
But you had no right to comment on that. Save that for the show.
I'm sorry, I'm only doing it for the fun.
You mean comment on it? Everybody knows. I get letters about it from Singapore and...
Yes, I know. Yes, I suppose that's true. But you see, I get worked up. You know what I mean? And my emotions sort of froth and bubble over to everything.
I know.
I've got to turn on the nearest person and pour that affection out.
Yes.
It's over my holding in.
Deviation.
Yes, I agree. Another point. So Henry's now got 3 more points. And he's got 22 seconds to continue on the subject of modesty, starting now.
As I was saying when I was so strangely interrupted...
Libby Purvis, a challenge.
Repetition, if he's going to say the same thing again.
No, but that is not. He has to repeat the words. So that's another point to Henry Kelly. In the final round, he's creeping up on the others. Right, Henry, 19 seconds, modesty, starting now.
The Jesuit replied to my father in reply to his question. Oh, God, come on, be quicker.
Judge.
Repetition of father.
Yes, you had the father before, I'm afraid. This time, Henry, yes, you've challenged.
Hesitation on his challenge.
Yes, that's a very, very good, Henry, but... I'm glad you let the audience know you're on the ball and still with us and done very well. You got about 8 points in that round, but... no, not quite that. Clement, you have 16 seconds on modesty starting now.
I'm actually very sadly equipped to speak on the subject of modesty, being only a poor and untalented...
Libby Purvis, a challenge.
I think he hesitated after poor, because he isn't, is he?
I wouldn't agree with anything he said, but...
It was modest.
Was it modest?
Fool.
I think that's a horrible thing to say to Nicholas.
I know, but I'm used to it now. I do crumble a bit under the stress and the...
He did hesitate after poor, though, didn't he?
No, I don't think
I'm only a poor...
Oh, dear, you give me a very difficult decision, because it's the last round, and if I give it to Clement, he wins, and if I give it to you, you win, and so...
How about giving it to me and see if I win?
Why, what is that? Right. 9 seconds for Henry Kelly on modesty, starting now.
So he said in reply to my father's question, yes?
Libby Purvis, a chance.
His father came in again, yes, and replied.
So, Libby, you got that one, and so you've got 7 seconds on modesty starting now.
Modesty was...
Clement Freud, chance.
Hesitation. Oh, but ridiculous.
I was in there like a ferret.
Mind you, I had nothing to lose the last round of 6 seconds ago, but you, I'm afraid I disagree. Modesty is still with Libby, and there are 5.5 seconds starting now.
Modesty is an overrated virtue. On this program, it would get you nowhere at all under any...
Well, Libby's apt words at on Just a Minute brought this Just a Minute to a close, and I will now give you the final score. Henry Kelly, coming for the very first time, which is tough when you've played the game before, you know, he did extraordinarily well, with a little encouragement from the chairman one round. He did finish in fourth place, only 1 point behind our regular over there, Kenneth Williams, who was 3 points behind Clement Freud, but then that last flourish with her modest remarks brought her into the lead again, and to win this week, Libby Purvis. So we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again same time next week when we take the air and we play this delightful and sometimes impossible game. But till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.